Blog Talk Radio.
Golden dreaming beauty man, is it only fantasy? Sometimes one can't help but wonder, will it ever truly be? Some people keep on saying, all is illusion and lies. Why is it so hard to believe there are better days to see? So it seems like the world is tumbling down. It's the darkest time of night.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, but souls who are alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Ches, instructions of kindness, Torah Racham, instructions of mercies. This is now the 233rd class, or I should say 234 class of Soul Class, of today's subject matter, which we're going to try to get into after we will quite abruptly lower the music from Rabbi Isaac Baton's Generation Redemption. Here comes the time. Excuse me, Rabbi Isaac. Rabbi Isaac is our blessed prayer partner at the internationally known Frankel Shul here in Kensington Heights, Brooklyn, New York. Blessed souls, here is kind of a semi-impromptu humble effort to try to explore the subtle nuances of one particular blessing Israelite Patriarch Isaac conferred upon Israelite Patriarch Jacob, or as Yitzhak would bless Yaakov Yisrael. As well, Jacob had a twin brother, the Edomite Patriarch Esav, who was also blessed by their father, Isaac, and we'll talk about this a little bit, although we should note that Esav was no prophet. But hopefully we want to put in a word or two about him, and how is it that someone who was raised in a state of sanctity initially by his family and grandfather, because the grandfather of Jacob and Esav, Yaakov and Esau, was none other than Abraham. So I hope you can join us in. Join in right now. We're broadcasting live from Kensington Heights in the greater continent of Turtle Island, as the Native American peoples call it. We call it the USA. But before we do that, we just want to mention that this week we of the International Community of Israel will be reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse 19, and concluding on chapter 28, verse 9. We also have a custom for, I guess it's over 1800 years. We also read a portion from the Tanakh, from the prophets. And this coming Shabbos, we'll be reading from Malachi, or Malachi. I guess it's pronounced in English, and that you would have to go to chapter 1. Verse 1 through 14, and then go on to chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Now, before we even address the prophetic blessings that Isaac conferred upon Jacob, I thought I would bring out something very tasty and something to hopefully arouse in your mind a perspective that probably most people have never considered, unless you were of the level of the Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai was known as the Chacham from Baghdad. He lived from 1835 until 1909, and he was also known as the Baal Shem Tov of the Middle East. He was such a giant in Torah and prayer and acts of kindness to his fellow Jewish people, and also for the Bnei Noach, the Iraqis, or as they used to be known, the Babylonians. Yes, the Iraqis are in fact direct ancestors of the ancient Babylonian people, just FYI for your information. With that being said, that as well as we take for granted perhaps the blessings that Isaac Yitzhak conferred upon his twin sons, we have to remember that the birth of Isaac itself, Yitzhak Avinu, was not a simple matter. It required a rectification within Abraham. Number one, the Most High revealed to him prophetically that his name would no longer be Avram, it would become Avraham, or Abram became Abraham, adding the Hebrew letter He, which allowed Avraham to reach a mastery over his tactile senses. As well, his wife was originally called Sarai, her name was changed to Sarah. So with that being said, when Yitzhak was born, according to the Ben Ish Chai, which are obviously teachings of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine inspiration, and we should take note, at least for a few seconds, to note, you know, to share with the Blessed Souls that there is a difference between Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, and Nevuah, prophecy. And there's a wonderful book written by a young rabbi by the name of Rabbi Chaim Miller, who wrote a book about the fundamental aspects of prophecy. And actually, there's like 11 different dimensions of it. Of course, the ultimate is the prophetic level of Moshe, Moses. And then eventually there's a level of Ruach HaKodesh, which can come all the way down to the fact that when an Israelite mother and father decide to name their child, our sages of Israel taught us that, although it might seem on the more superficial sense of observation, it was just because they named it after a mother or a father or an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent. But actually embedded within that seichel anushi, that human intellect, is a dimension of Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. So sometimes, and I think I remember a cool reading many years ago, the Lubavitcher Rebbe mentioned that when a person gets good advice from a Torah sage, within the common sense of that good advice is some sort of connection to that Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. So the Ben Ish Chai, getting back to what we're trying to deal with right now and getting a preface to the blessing that Isaac Yitzhak gave to Jacob Yaakov, was that originally, just as Abraham had to go through a tikkun, a rectification, which also involved him circumcising himself at the age of 99, that there was a rectification that was needed on the part of Isaac Yitzhak in order that eventually he should become the parents of his twin sons. And the rectification that he needed to go through was the Akedah, which was talked about in several or a couple of portions ago in Genesis that we read about, where Avraham was told by the Most High to offer up his son, his only son, meaning in terms of the only one specifically fitting to carry down the tradition as it originally was transmitted from Noach to his son Shem, and Shem passed it on to his descendants, and Avraham is in fact a direct descendant of Shem and Noach. So in order for this transmission to take place, there had to be rectifications, that the people being rectified would go through a process of purification. Rectification many times can be associated with purification in order that their bodily sensations and their emotional capacities and their intellectual capabilities are all broadened out and focused on the one true and ultimately the only pursuit really that will be for the whole human family experience, and that's to know the Creator and make this world a proper abode for the Most High in this world. So after the Akedah, Yitzhak was then able to have children. Before that, the Ben Ish Chai says and asserts that Yitzhak was not able to have children. So with that being said, he would eventually marry Rivka, and it would take them 20 years before they would have their children. Now, with that being said, there came the point where Yitzhak felt all the traditions and all the blessings that he had received from his father, Abraham, should be transferred to his sons. And from within that context, we take inspiration from a Hasidic maimon, a Hasidic discourse from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which was delivered almost 45 years ago, as of this coming Shabbos, Parshas Toldot, It will be the 45th year since the Rebbe delivered this teaching, and I'm drawing from that teaching to share with you the following brief inspiration. So here we go. Blessed souls, have you ever considered the dew which mercifully covers the earth abundantly upon grass, flowers, herbs, vegetables, and fruits? We mean dew, we don't mean D-U-E, we mean D-E-W. Now, what about if one were to be, when we consider, what are the fat things of the earth? Which things are the things that are fattened or fat already, which are present upon the face of the living earth? Well, the above matters of the heaven below the Most High and the earth below, we descendants of original earth man and original earth woman, were in fact the prophetic blessings of Patriarch Isaac Yitzhak, confirmed and spoken to directly to Patriarch Jacob Yaakov. And as this is documented, and Moses was the one who was told to document by the Most High in the book of Genesis, chapter 27, verse 28. However, what we take note of is that the prophet Yitzhak, Isaac, when blessing the prophet Yaakov, his son, Jacob, used a name of the Most High. Now, there are various names of the Most High, and the name that he used was Elohim, which is indicative of how the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the infinite creator, may be blessed, serves as the source of all measurements of judgment and contraction and diminution as it manifests in this world. So we can ponder, why would a prophetic father bless his prophetic son in a manner that he would choose not to use another name of the Most High, which is associated with the four-letter ineffable name of the Most High, which we can say in the following manner permissibly. The Yud, we pause and then say a Hey, and then we pause and say a Vav, and then we say a Hey. This name of the Most High, which the Rebbe instructed, is directly connected to eliciting and manifesting all forms of bounty, bagashmi baruchnit, in physical and spiritual matters. As well, we do see it in another part of the Torah, in the book of Numbers, in chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, that four-letter name of the Most High that we just mentioned would later be used by the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, Aaron, and his sons, who were instructed by Moses, who was told by the Most High Creator. And again, in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 23 to 27. And that series of verses ended with the statement, quote, "And they shall place my name upon the children of Israel, and I," meaning the Most High Creator, "shall bless them." Now, you might ask a question. Here we see in the book of Numbers, Moses was told by the Most High what the Kohanim, the priestly branch of the nation of Israel, how they should bless the children of Israel with this four-letter name. Now, these are the children of Israel, meaning they are the descendants of Jacob Israel, Yaakov Yisrael. So why didn't Isaac, Yitzhak, bless his son, who would be the progenitor, the summarization, some say the beautification, the actualization of his father and grandfather's highest spiritual ideals and dreams and realizations? Why would he not be blessed with that four-letter name when his descendants would be? Well, so to speak, it would be mistaken to think so outrightly, but if we would go from the perspective of Savora, reasoning, which is allowed in Torah to reason things out, even though the reasoning is only being applied in order that we get to a more truer understanding of what is transpiring in these narratives in the Torah, which are all prophetic narratives. If we were to, so to speak, in defense of Yitzhak Isaac for blessing Yaakov with the name of the Most High, as that name of the Most High, the name Elohim, Shem Elohim, which serves as the source of all judgment and contraction, diminishment. That the first blessing, as reported by the Torah concerning Yitzhak himself, Isaac himself, mentions, relating to the passing of his father in Genesis chapter 25, verse 11, quote, after the death of Abraham, and Elohim, the name of the Most High, blessed Yitzhak, his son, and Yitzhak dwelt in Be'er Lechai Roi, a certain area that he lived in the land of Canaan, which would later be known as the land of Israel. So, if we understand and acknowledge and can deal with the fact that Yitzhak was a prophet of God, and we see here that after the death of Abraham, it says that the Elohim blessed Yitzhak. Now, Yitzhak had to be conscious of this blessing. It wasn't that he went to the local barber and was told that, hey, you know, God has blessed you. He understood that he had been the full recipient of the transmission, the ancestral traditions of righteousness and Torah instruction, even at the stage of development Torah was developing, in terms of consciousness to the human family experience. At that time, everyone was still in the category of Bnei Noach, children of Noah, even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. So we see that it would make sense that by the name that Yitzhak was prophetically blessed with, that name which is associated with contraction and measures of judgment and diminution, that he would choose to use that name for himself, to bless his son, Yaakov, Jacob. It only makes sense because he prophesied he was blessed, and therefore he pressed on that consciousness in the form of that blessing to his son, Jacob, Yaakov. So, again, there must be a certain significance to being blessed with the name of the Most High, associated with that name serving as the source of judgment, contraction, diminution. Well, yes, blessed is there is in fact a source within Panimius HaTorah that indicates from the perspective of the divine attribute of judgment, Midas HaDin, and contraction, Tzimtzum, diminution, as it relates to manifesting godliness or Elokut within this blessed world. Now, bounty or Shefa is rooted within the attribute, which ultimately has implications of being a divine attribute, of chesed, kindness. The bounty that is associated with this is considered to be a bounty which is considered to be kar, or cold, within the nature of that bounty being bestowed from higher point A to lower point B. So actually, in this transmission of shefa, of bounty, within chesed, kindness, the transmission can be quite limited. Now, when we said it's within their nature, let's understand, blessed souls, as well, that nature in Hebrew is called teva. And teva is a word which means nature, which means that when we can't necessarily understand the fullness of some sort of phenomena which is either observable to the naked eye as you look out into, say, like a field and see animals running around, or when you look into a concept with your mind's eye, you can conceptualize and perceive something of that thing, but really you're only catching the outer dimensions of it, its nature. But the secrets or the inner mechanics of that nature, you don't necessarily get. So when we talk about the way of a natural life, the way of a natural life is that which is observable to be the life that is being naturally lived. For instance, we know that, naturally speaking, when we eat good food and drink proper drinks, okay, that we are, generally speaking, going to be healthier. And just the opposite is true when we eat injurious foods. Now, of course, there's other factors, pollution and stress and, you know, lack of sleep, of course, but this is the way things are by way of nature. And when the nature is being described as the nature of something which is an expression of kindness or a conduit of kindness, there's a limitation. However, when we deal with the idea of bounty, shefa, associated with gevura, or which is can mean strength or even sometimes restriction. That bounty is associated with something, a type of teva, a nature which is hot. And that type of subsequent bounty manifests within a certain level of strength connected to a multitude of matter, which appears not only again to the eye of the mind, but also to one's physical eye, to beyond the limitations of limited body bounty, as we can understand what is the difference between a limited bounty and an unlimited bounty. I mean, perhaps one example is the fish in a fish tank is a limited amount of bounty, as opposed to unlimited bounty would be, despite the ferociousness and the precariousness of life in the ocean, there are many more fish, and while there are other fish being consumed by predatory fish or reptilian animals, or dying from pollution, unfortunately, or being caught by the children of man, other fish are being spawned. Other fish are taking their first breath of life outside their mother's womb, or outside the womb that they the egg that they are hatched out of. So we see that the restriction that we come to associate with perhaps a negative perception of bounty is actually the conduit within the context of the inner dimensions of Torah to be something which actually can give forth more abundance amount of bounty. And I hope I'm being clear with this. And just if you think about these things, Bezos, and kind of reason it out with your own allegorical abilities, perhaps you can find even better means by which of understanding what I'm saying, because perhaps these concepts of the nature of coldness being connected with kindness and limitation, as opposed to the nature of heat or gevura, of might, the restriction, connected with unlimited bounty. With that being said, we're coming rapidly to a close here, blessings, because I didn't come here to really make any conclusive statements, but rather to share with you a certain perception that exists within Torah, how to understand. And I'm not giving you the final answer, because I don't have the final answer, because even this whole little chapter or description or narrative of Yitzhak blessing Isaac, blessing Jacob, Yaakov, entails thousands and thousands of pages of elucidation throughout the ages by the Israelite sages. So just to, so to speak, whet your spiritual appetite to want to get more, because I think if I can say, through my humble efforts, if I can whet your whistle to become hungry to learn more about these concepts, and then hopefully, whether it be telephone or email or Facebook wall posts, or even there's a feedback mechanism here on Blog Talk Radio, which you can do by connecting to my Blog Talk Radio page, which is called Don Zusya Goodman, D-O-N-Z-U-S-Y-A, Goodman, G-O-O-D-M-A-N. And perhaps we can further discussion. I can pull up more sources, and we can agree to disagree, and we can disagree to agree, or we can come to an agreement. We both have to learn more about this subject. But closing out, blessed souls, we want to mention that also in this week's Torah portion, the twin son, the twin brother of Yaakov, again the twin son of Yitzhak, Isaac, Esav, was also blessed. Now, it's understood that Yitzhak, as a loving father, even if his son who was living a wayward life, even at the tender age of 15 and onward, that the father had hopes that the son would turn his ways around. No, Yitzhak didn't kick Esav out of the house, despite the fact that Esav did not have fluent on his tongue as Yaakov did, as Jacob did, with praises of the Most High. He was someone who went after the stirrings of his own heart. But yet Yitzhak, as a prophet, realized that there was levels of holiness, of sense of sanctification, of dedication that could be actualized in Esav's lifetime, or eventually in his descendants, who are connected to many peoples who live now in the modern world in the 21st century. Therefore, he wanted to bless him, to draw upon him a supernal type of light, which is connected to a type of consciousness of the Most High, despite one being blinded temporarily or for a part, or if not most of one's life, by just running after the stirrings of one's own animal desires. And by way of this, the levels of holiness embedded within Esav from his very beginnings. As the patriarch of all Edom, of the Edomite peoples, would be that eventually there would be a purification, rectification process, even to Esav. And that eventually that there would be a partnership, once again, and hopefully it will be a partnership in a brotherly manner, where the holiness that was embedded within Esav shall be interfaced with the holiness of Jacob, Yaakov, his twin brother. And therefore there would be a purification of purpose, not only for Esav, but also for Yaakov, that there should be a symbiotic relationship between these two ancient brothers and their two and all of their descendants, which are the children of Israel today, and a sizable portion of the children of Noah today in our times. And we conclude with the whole idea that hopefully that all of this type of consciousness, of purpose, of blessing, to bring down rectification, to bring down sanctification of purpose on this in this world, should all be done in the spirit of making the entire world, not just for the children of Israel, but for the children of Israel and the children of Noah, called by Olam, all inhabitants of the world, to make it a fitting dwelling place, as a conduit to be pleasantly and peacefully configured to the blessings of the Most High, that we can live again as one, as we originally did, within the context of our original ancestors, original earth man and original earth woman. So with that being said, blessed souls, I think I've been humbled a little bit in my humble attempt to make this presentation to you. So I want to close with a song by a good brother out in England. David Dome will help us get us home to explore even further. Our Tzelem Elokim, which is no dream, our divine image, will help us get out and scrimmage and to realize that humility is a wonderful, wonderful attribute within the human family experience. And if we shoot for it, we will not be living a life in vain. There are times where sometimes we lose our humility. That's okay. We're allowed to make mistakes. But to be conscious of the fact we can do more good, just like we know we should, that's the way we hope to go. And again, I want to end with a Havachad, one love, Goral Echad, one destiny, Kulanu for all of us, but Darchi Shalom, in a peaceful, Darchi Noam, in a pleasant way, Lahamshik, to be continued, Bezer Hashem, with the help of the Most High, Yisparech. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.